poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You made it through to the radio show that puts odd in broadcasting. We are World Poetry Open Mic. I'm your humble host, J. Todd Underhill. On my left-hand side, it's the man that'll give you his dinghy. He'll give you his kayak. Hell, he'll give you his pontoon. Don't ask him for his clipper because he just doesn't give a ship. He is Michael Amade.
I don't even know what to say to that. I'm just completely blown away at the moment.
I know.
Whoa.
And, of course, he is the man with the plan, sitting on his left-hand side, rolls the natural 20 when it comes to tech skills.
That's
he
true.
Is, and that's actually really true.
That is really
he
true.
He is the half-squatch.
Good evening.
Good evening. Wow. Just owning it. Well, I love it.
I tried.
All right. So, you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic. We're brought to you by a couple of great sponsors, KNET Books. Glad to have them on board. If you want to learn something, anything, poetry, physics, nuclear propulsion, definitely check out KNET Books. They have everything you need. College level, masters, they have everything. Just check them out. KNETBooks.com.
Kindergarten.
Well,
hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as they have the book about the brave little cowboy. It's my favorite new book.
Mm.
I've read it like to classes. I've read it about 12 times this week.
Just this week.
Just this week.
Woo.
I'm getting good at it.
And then he's going to have to send it back to KNET Books to get his money, you know, cut off.
Yep.
That way he's not running up the bill on it.
That's it.
All right. So also we're brought to you by NatureBox. Check them out. You want to eat healthy. You want to live a long time. NatureBox.com has all your snacking needs. They've got trail mixes. They've got sesame sticks. Pretty much anything GMO-free, sugar-free, gluten-free. It's a subscription service. They're even first-time users giving out a first box, so you're going to want to check them out. NatureBox.com. Pardon me, hiccup right in the middle of the commercial. That was
Doc
weird.
Cook-a-com.
It was the extended mix of the NatureBox commercial.
It's very, very poetic of you to do it that way. Hey,
Kanye West would do it that way.
Kanye West wouldn't. He wouldn't apologize. In fact, he'd tell you that's the way that the real geniuses do it. How was your week, man?
It was good. You know, it was weird last week not being on the air. Had some stuff I needed to do in my personal life. Got it done and ready to come back and rock it.
So I went last Friday. I was telling everybody this. I went to go buy costumes, and not just for Halloween, but for this big play that's coming out that I wrote that's premiering next week, or having its only performance next week. And so I didn't realize I had spent about $50 on fake mustaches, which sounds funnier than it really is. But the best part was I was ringing out at this store, and it was ARC, one of the
– right.
And it was at like 8:50, 8:55. Place closes at 9. Ring it all up, $150 worth of costumes and all this stuff, right?
That's a lot of stuff.
That's a lot of stuff.
Ring it up, sign it, hit okay. Right as I hit okay, I'd taken my mother out for dinner and she came along with me. And she asked the lady, literally right as I hit okay, "Do you ever have a sale?" And the lady goes, "Yeah, we have 50% off everything tomorrow." And I went, "Are you serious?
Wow.
What?" You know, I cannot believe paid full price for fake mustaches.
You never pay full price for fake mustaches, especially when you're producing a one-time performance of Kama Sutra the musical.
No, this is starring a bunch of 13-year-olds. That's creepy as hell.
Oh,
this is called.
I didn't know their age. Right?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Fair enough. No, it's called The Paintbrush. It's about a painter who receives a paintbrush that everything he paints becomes real. But not only that, the entire world that he has kind of implied in the painting also becomes real.
Interesting.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
That is really cool, actually.
I'm really proud of it. And there's a lot of cool things, including a scene where the girl who looks like the damsel in distress actually becomes the hero and has to convince a dragon that he wants to eat her.
Huh. Okay.
Very strange.
Yes. Okay. Very well written, though, from what I understand. You've been kind of bouncing ideas off me through the writing process. I kind of like it.
Cool. It's going to be 2 months from conception to production. So
wow.
Pretty cool.
All right. So we do poetry here as well as stage talk. Anyway, we want to hear your poetry. Give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That's right. We want to hear about poetry that is shaping your world, things that are important to you. And we want to hear about kind of the events of your life brought through in poetry. 720-240-9766.
Five callers.
Time is running out to join World Poetry Open Mic as they're ready to publish their first anthology of poetry. If you would like to be included in this anthology, submit your poetry using the contact form at worldpoetryopenmic.net and use anthology as the subject. It is you, the caller, and you, the listener, who make World Poetry Open Mic what it is, and we would love for you to join us in this endeavor as well. Submissions must be completed by October 31st, 2015, World Poetry Open Mic's first anthology. Don't delay, submit today.
Holy cow, who is that wrote that commercial? That was way over the top.
I have no idea what's going on.
Bastard. No, I'm just kidding.
You know what, dude? No, it sounds like a hardworking American who I wish would put some pants on.
Well, I do my best.
Yeah, to not follow that advice.
Wait, right. You do your best work without your pants on?
There's a lot of artists who claim that happens,
I've heard about that.
Some of the best. I even heard Chris Martin from Coldplay talking about one of the songs that he considers the best. He's like, it's the first song he ever wrote naked.
Really?
Wow. I'm actually not kidding about that.
And, there's the guy that played The Godfather. He performed without pants a lot.
Oh, Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando. Yeah, why was that name?
Later on in life, but so did Sean Connery, if you want to ruin every woman's fantasy about Sean Connery. Perform with their pants off just in their underwear because it doesn't, it makes them look like they don't have as much weight, as much girth. You film from the waist up.
Not as girthy, yeah.
Yeah. I always ask to be filmed from the waist up.
All right. So we do have five posts lined up. It's been over a week since we've had this show. I am excited. Let's go ahead and go straight to Lorraine from New York. Lorraine, are you with us?
I certainly am. How was your time off?
It was good. Got much I needed to get done. Done.
Good. Done. Well, that's always a good thing. Done. Done.
Done. Done. Done.
We got her, dude.
Done. Done. Okay, I'm going to take you back to when I was growing up. So I know you guys are too young for this, and you probably won't, but it's called Remember When. When slapstick was funny and violence was not, when black and white TVs were all that we got, when families had meals seated together and spoke to each other regardless of weather, the phones rang, the guns banged, and laptops were missing. When Ralph Cramden taught newlyweds about kissing, when you actually listened when your teacher spoke, when dads worked and kids helped and no one was broke, when Muppets were the rage on public TV and heroes were real for children to see, when thinking was in and rudeness was out and lessons taught us what life was about, when fast food meant breakfast, not meals on the run, when meals weren't deals and dinner was fun, when love was an ideal, not merely sex, when gifts came from feelings, not cold written texts, when simple was happy and happy was good, when we knew the neighbors in our neighborhood, when Sunday was one day designed for just rest, and prayers were believed in, and the righteous were blessed. End poem. Thank you.
I gotta say, Lorraine, that brought back some memories. When I was a kid, we used to watch the Muppets faithfully, and my mother would make
Muppets.
Those old style Swanson TV dinners in the oven with the tinfoil. Yes. And no matter what style of dinner you got that tinny taste of the tinfoil that was over the top
you
of
got
the
this
meal.
Tin taste.
That was healthy.
But you talked. You talked to each other. There was interaction, you know, and it was family. Yeah.
It was.
And I miss that. I do.
I got to say, though, Lorraine, you know, I teach kids. There's a hell of a lot of interaction and talking between people. Just different times.
Really?
Times it's not. Oh, they won't shut up.
Inappropriate times.
They won't shut up.
But what are they talking about? That could be part of the problem.
Oh, just whatever.
I'm not really.
But 19, 12-year-olds, it's like a cloud of they move, the sound moves with them the way smell travels with a you know.
But what a
junk
joy
ship.
That must be. What a joy.
That's what people say, but I always say don't jump to conclusions.
You're right. Then I'll hold back my feelings on that. I envy your experience with them. It must be wonderful.
No, it is.
And God
kids.
Bless you for doing it, really. We need more people like you around. Hear that, Mike, and the half squatch?
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm working on cloning myself, Lorraine. Thank you very much.
There you go.
All right.
Well, I'll talk to you next hour or whatever.
Yes, we'll talk
next
to you
segment.
During a return engagement.
Return engagement.
Return engagement. Okay, got it.
Thank
you,
Lorraine.
Take care. Okay, you're welcome.
That was Lorraine on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Nice. I've missed this so much. Oh, last week was horrible.
It was horrible?
You know, not hearing
I enjoyed
our friends.
It.
Our friend. Well, yeah, you were in the lap of luxury.
Well, I wouldn't say lap of luxury. It was
definitely a 55-foot yacht
relaxation.
In Seattle? Come on now.
Well, you were in Seattle.
Ain't that the truth? I definitely was not in Seattle.
Yeah, you weren't in the Caribbean or anything. But
well,
still.
Hey, we're from Denver. We can't admit to liking Seattle. Specifically
for a
because
lot
of our football, allegiances, first of all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
so nice.
We're going to go from Lorraine in New York. We're going to stay in New York. Let's go to another longtime supporter of the show. Please welcome Leo.
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing good. Hello and welcome back, my friend.
Yes. You know, you guys had me fooled. I mean, I think I missed 2 weeks ago and didn't know about last week not being last week. So I was like, one of the only two people, I think it was somebody else that was there. I forget who it was. And I felt so lonely. I was like,
did you feel like did you feel like you got an invitation to a party that never happened?
I was like, you know, I really must have sucked in my last poem that nobody showed up this week.
Yeah,
and
we
I
actually
said,
had
wow.
a we had a secret meeting with all the other listeners, and we're like, hey guys, we really don't want Leo to do this anymore, but we don't know how to tell him, so we're just gonna switch nights and just hope he figures it out.
You know, I had to encourage myself and say, you know, well, at least my poem was that powerful that it could discombobulate a whole show, you know? I mean,
that's
some kind of effect, you know?
That's a good thing. That's a good way to look at it, because it's basically like, it must have been so good, they just gave up.
Exactly. They couldn't handle how good
it was. I just slammed the pen down. Done. This show's finished. We found the quintessence.
Well, I feel much better now, okay? So that next time that nobody shows up, I'm just going to feel real good about it.
There you go. That's how I frame it. That's how I feel good about myself.
I plan to follow the example, you know. I have to follow my therapist's example at all times.
That's what I would
suggest.
With
my pants on, but I look forward to my pants being off.
Not everybody can live it as hardcore as I can, Leo.
Are you kidding? He goes to the Shell station with his pants off.
Well, that's easy.
well, you know, sometimes it takes hard work to work without your pants, you know, especially in public. So, you know, I mean, that's commendable.
And I give respect to those guys in Antarctica who reach for the stars, you know.
Well, I give respect to those guys who are proud to not wear their pants, you know.
Apparently.
They're
I'm just full of shame. Hey, anyway, what do you got for us, man?
Leo, we're just gonna keep going, dude.
We gotta, you and I would just keep going all evening. I have a feeling. So,
all right. Let me save us both. Okay.
Right.
I am going to read something called "The Right to Be Wrong," and here goes. I know there's so much distrust, and having faith is a must if we're to bust into a new world that differs from this one. I suffer from that very deficiency, the equivalency of not believing, because I've seen me in the other side of believing, and found myself believing that I made a mistake. So excuse me if I take a moment longer to feel more secure about where we may wander, and that if there should be an attack, that I'll know you got my back. If you say that's what you want, that's fine. I want it too, but I've heard words said before that wasn't true. So I'd rather you not tell me a thing and show me with your actions what you intend to bring. So then I'll keep myself on the watch. I'll be looking at whatever's cooking in your mind to see if it brings all the tunes that you sing to me. I hope we stay out of the way of misunderstanding, but things are bound to come from mishandling what we get from each other. If we deal with it brother to brother, I'm sure we'll recover. And as a result, build our respect for one another. But here's the thing that I want to say. If a thought does come my way that contains doubt or I'm not sure of what you're all about, believe me that I'm going to give it a shout. Without my intention to be open about things, any other intentions might as well be dead. And I'm fully aware that you may prove me wrong. In fact, that's what I'm hoping all along. So let's both try to build on this trust. I realize that I can be mistaken, and that consequences can follow on. But if I feel something in my bones, I won't retreat to where no one never knows. And I reserve the right to be wrong and fall.
As always, your work is astounding, my brother.
Thank you.
Leo.
Thank you very much.
I thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for blessing our show with your work.
I appreciate it. My quarters are very well productive.
Hell, the next 4 weeks are covered by me. That's how appreciative I am.
Oh, my God. I feel saner already. Thank you, guys.
Nice.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Leo. You're the man, Leo. Thank you.
That was Leo on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Man, just great poets calling our show.
Callers are killing it, man.
Always have something worthwhile of hearing, a message for us. Someone that never lets us down. She's from Connecticut. Please welcome Barbara.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Barbara. Welcome to our show.
I never let you down. That's kind of something.
It's kind of like we have a relationship. It's kind of like you're never going to give us up and never going to let us down.
No, I don't. I don't let anyone down. I was trying to explain the word depend, depend on somebody to a 7-year-old boy today. And he did not understand it. And
oh,
I kept telling
him,
Yeah. Well, it's like you have to, somebody who you can trust, that will never let you down like that, So I said, depend,
Well, trust us, we won't run around and hurt you either.
Yeah, I know. I know, and this is kind of leaning up to my poem, because I actually did something which was, everyone said was brave, but at the time I didn't think it was that brave. But I videoed myself talking about that experience that I told you about with that scammer.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be in a documentary that my friend is doing.
Okay.
And I did it mostly because my friend was doing it, and I figured I'd help her out, So I'd get an interview and help her out, and then I realized I'd have to talk about that. And I said, well, okay. And then afterwards, she said, oh, that was very brave. And a few people I know said, oh, that was very brave. So I wrote a poem called Bravery, of course.
All right.
Bravery. Who's to say what is brave? Peel your life away like onion skin and feel the raw underbelly. Know the loss of a love so painful it tears your insides, as if needles were poking from within and ripping your skin piece by piece, and stumble into disasters, waiting like rocks for flailing ships. You being the rock and flailing, your life tattered and flying in the wind like the sails of the doomed ships as you chart the sea of your life. And when you reach a safe harbor where you can rest and recuperate and think back to your journey, there is never a time to hide what has gotten you here. You speak out against evil forces who have thwarted your progress and forced you to alter the steady course of your life, to veer toward the rocky shores and not float in serene waters. No subterfuge for the truth. And when the unvarnished disaster is aired, were you brave to speak the words, or was it your destiny to chart the course for others who might be flailing close to the rocks? End poem.
Barbara, well done.
Thank you.
And I'm when you get a release for the documentary that you're going to be in, I would love to check that out.
Oh, well, you know what? It's an Imaginarium next year.
Oh, so we got a year, just under a year to wait.
Yeah, that's in Louisville. Louisville,
right.
As they say.
I'll hold
right?
off.
Philip, Louisville.
I'll hold off on burning my popcorn yet.
Yeah, Louisville, so. Right?
Louisville.
Louisville. Louisville. That's how they say it.
Vol.
Welcome to Louisville.
Maybe they should pay for some poetry show to come do a live broadcast from Imaginarium.
I will talk to Stephen. I actually know Stephen, and I will ask him if he thinks that's a good idea.
There you go.
No, better yet, ask him why it would not be a good idea.
Pointed out that there is no
fantastic idea.
There's
they
no
didn't
way
have
he
any
can shoot that amazing
time,
idea down.
And I really think that would be a fantastic
he
idea.
He needs to. Imaginarium was not complete, Barbara. This last year, I'm sorry, you had a cut-rate experience because this show was not there.
I know.
Tell him
I'm
that.
Going to tell him about it and have him listen.
That's it. Next time there's a presidential election, all three of us are running.
Yes.
Against each other.
I would vote for you.
Which one
but
of us?
That would cancel us out, Barbara. It doesn't work that way. You have to choose your favorite. But not right now.
I can't choose. It's like Sophie's Choice. No,
I know. You don't have to choose yet. Yeah. You got 8 years, so we're good.
No. 8 years.
Well, I'm assuming someone's going
to... No, 1 year.
There might be an...
Well, yeah. It's a little late to get in the race now. Besides,
no,
Trump has
so.
Everything wrapped up.
Yeah.
8 years? No. Yeah. 8 years.
We're not going to talk about that. Let's move on. I'm going to start crafting my speech from 8 years, my acceptance speech for 8 years from now. We'll just move on.
All right. Barbara, thank you for calling our show.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Barbara.
We'll talk to you during the return engagement. That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio. I love how you get our callers just laughing.
Wouldn't it be amazing if some guy wins, president gets up here in his acceptance speech, he goes, I told you 8 years ago I was going to do this. I told you, and you all didn't believe me.
You know what would be funnier? Is if Trump actually wins.
Oh, gosh.
And Obama walks on stage and grabs the microphone and says that Biden should have won it. Total Kanye West moment.
I'm sorry. I'm going to let you have your presidency. But Beyonce.
That would have been funny if he announces Beyonce.
Totally.
Sorry, Beyonce gets this, right? It's supposed to be going to Beyonce.
I would suddenly become a massive Kanye West fan if he did that. And then I don't even care who the president would be. It would just instantly
be hilarious.
Yeah. All right, there we go.
All right, so we're going to bring online the Beyonce of Colorado Springs. Please welcome Chris from Colorado Springs. That was a joke, by the way.
Yeah. Chris, that's going to be the weirdest intro I think you get in a long time, man.
Right, how are you guys doing?
Doing great,
doing
man.
Doing good, man. How was your week?
Oh, my week was fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do something special with your week off, not calling our show on Friday?
Well, I've been getting my hat business together, but I pitched a story for The Risk Live.
Oh, yeah.
Show up in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
I got on. I read a story this past Wednesday.
No
Beautiful.
Kidding. That's great, man. Great to hear.
That is awesome.
I'll probably be on the podcast on Monday. They're going to add sound design. Kevin was talking about it.
Well, dude, let us know through Twitter, okay? Let us know. We want to check it out. Also, we want to talk to you this week. We had a really cool idea about something we could maybe cross-promote with your
Foxy
hat company.
Hats.
Yeah, Foxy Hats with two X's and a Y, hats.com, if you care to check it out. But we have an idea that we want to run by you. We'll do it privately.
All right, sounds good.
Awesome.
All right,
man.
I can hit you up on Writer's Cafe. We can get together for coffee or something.
Sounds good to me, man.
All right, so you got poetry for us, brother.
I sure do. This poem is, it's called Thoughts. I wonder, as I trepidly trek across a torturous titillation of devious deck, upon myself, or at least my body. It's what I see. There can be nothing else within this comedy. Or so I think. Rather, do I wonder, as I trek these decks alone with no cover, that the weather hurts, but just this physicality, a novel idea that there is more that surrounds me. I'd like to imagine and expand myself, discover what is there, find out what else. But this cautious step of evil things I find good keeps me from wondering that which I should. That I keep trekking from one place to another, never thinking more than where to find cover. Thank you.
Enjoyed that one, man. That was great.
Very well done.
Yeah.
And that's why you rock Posick Fest.
Well, thank you, guys.
Yeah, we want to lock you in for next year when we can, dude. We already got the date locked down.
We've got the date locked down. Just keep it on your calendar, brother.
Oh, I absolutely will.
Beautiful.
You guys have a great night. Looking forward to the rest of the show.
Excellent. Good, and we'll talk to you during the return engagement, hopefully.
All righty. We'll do. Have fun.
That was Chris from Colorado Springs on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
It's good to be back.
It is good to be back.
Yeah, it's a guy. You know what's funny? This is the weird thing. I'm a single guy on a Friday night who spends every Friday night in a basement with a couple other guys doing a show. I have one Friday night off. What do? I take my mom to dinner.
That's awesome.
That's very sweet of
you. That is very sweet.
I guess. You know, it's actually, and strangely.
And strangely enough, he forgot his wallet and his mom ended up paying.
yeah, that's nice. Way to go.
Yeah.
No,
thanks, Mom. Yeah,
thanks again. I was actually completely fine with that. I just don't know what to do with myself on Friday nights anymore.
Well, hey, we're both married.
Yeah.
I kill it on Saturday nights, though.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
No, whatever. It just felt really strange.
Yeah.
It's good to be back.
It is. It's kind of like this show is like your most favorite pair of jeans. It's so comfy and warm, and you just can't wait to put them on.
My favorite pair of jeans I can't wait to get rid of.
Interesting.
Hmm.
So,
I just get rid of jeans all that, but I'm really.
Well, you go pantsless a lot.
Yeah.
So with my week off, it didn't feel like I missed anything because I wasn't in town.
Yeah.
It really threw me off because I was like, what day is it? I had no clue. Yeah. I couldn't remember.
Well, because
Sunday.
You changed locations too. You
didn't
have all the other cues and stuff
right.
around. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing around me to kind of go, hey, it's Friday.
You
hey,
be doing
it's
something
Saturday.
Right now. Yeah.
Football
you know,
hit.
Except
was
for
like,
the golden pineapples you were taking.
Oh,
down.
My God.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Guess what? Sea level's great.
Yeah. Literally, you are like a $200 drunk
at sea level. You just keep pounding them away because you don't feel it for a long time.
But see, that's the thing, though. Maybe I'm crazy, but I don't drink because I like
I
the drink,
either.
The alcohol too much. I literally do it because it's like it'll just...
It was a
it makes Drag
drink.
Queen Bingo way more fun.
Yes,
yeah,
it does.
Did.
When you're not drunk at Drag Queen Bingo, it is not that fun.
Oh, yeah,
trust me, I know.
Especially
I've been
when
sober
getting,
for over a year.
Right. Well, but when you're getting dry humped in the back of the neck by because J Todd's sister hands him a $20 bill and her.
Yeah.
And you're unaware of it, the next thing you know, there's this incredibly frightening 6 foot, you know, 6.5 foot drag queen.
Harley was Harley is
she was committed.
She was definitely committed.
She was
to
committed
you.
To that one. And I have to say, at that moment, I was happy that there was some alcohol in my system.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't think I would have seen humor in the lighter things.
Well, I got to say, I went down to sea level when I was back having my relapse for my alcoholism and went to a friend's farm, and I literally drank 2 4-packs of coolers, 6 beers, and I still didn't cop a buzz. And I'm like, Penny, I'm broken. I've got a problem. And she's like, we're at sea level, jackass. It's funny how many times are sentences end in the word jackass.
I've heard her say that to you a couple of times too. It's kind of weird. It just happens. It just comes out, and you're like, "Wow,
yeah."
You say that a lot. Must be something in there.
I think something about you likes that, though.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right. Hey. So someone that's not a 6 foot tall drag queen, but he is a great poet. Please welcome from Kentucky. He is Philip. Hi, Philip. How are you?
I am well. How are you, fellas?
Doing well. We're kind of crazy coming back at it, but that's all right.
Well, that's good.
We're getting our sea legs, so to speak.
You had a weekend off, so did you guys have a good weekend, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
I was a little upset about the mustache massacre of my wallet on Friday. However... The rest of the weekend. Yes. On mustaches and vintage women hats. That was That's hard to justify. I got to be honest.
Wow, you really are going to drag queen bingo.
Because I need the money. Well, I need the money. Yeah, and the wigs.
If you're a Republican, you can make that as a tax write-off, I'm pretty sure.
Hey, now, speaking of this, since we're talking about this, just for everybody who's listening, because you will thank me. Go on YouTube, look up Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani. Have you ever seen that video?
No, I have not.
Rudy Giuliani in drag getting hit on by Donald Trump, and it is the creepiest video you will ever see. It's amazing. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, there we go.
Entertaining.
Yeah.
All right.
Look it up tonight after the show, I promise. It's great.
I will do that.
All right.
So, do you have poetry to save us from this weird rant we've gone on?
I do, sir, and I'm trying to recollect my mood. You know, now I'm going to be thinking about, you know, men in drag, especially, you know, certain politicians, and
you know,
I'm just going to crack up.
Well, you know, Philip, we can do it next time. When you call, we can act incredibly somber and upset, and then after it's over, we can reverse it.
You fellers do whichever you like, you know, as long as you know that I'm in a dress right now, so, you know.
Hey, beautiful. You know what, man? You're not the only one.
Right.
The half squatch wears a dress really well.
I'm in 4 right now.
Yes, I do have a poem, and I'll get to it and get out of the way so you guys can have the next 5 callers.
All right, brother.
And this one's called Until I'm Imprisoned, Hospitalized Again, or at Peace in a Grave. And here it goes. Peculiar concept, freedom, permanently tethered to my body, to those legalities I willingly ignore in my errant quest for ecstasy, and those laws unbreakable, dictated by physics, namely entropy. Even the chromatic wind chimes played by warm B-thrum zephyrs isn't random. Surrounded by algorithms and complex equations that lend definitive boundaries to this so-called reality. Better than half my physical responses are autonomically regulated, though I may hold my defiant breath, as I often did in childhood. This only further illustrates futility and my own dumb stubbornness. I did, however, choose life, at least today, while immersed in these clumsy lines, judiciously avoiding its antithesis by hedging bets and taking seriously a handful of items unquestionably worthwhile, like your sensuous kisses succulent and a steadfast supply of illicit drugs before I give up this idiot fight and a rebellion against bored rulers who inherited a world they never deserved. And there it is, fellers.
Solid as always.
As always, just owning it, brother.
I appreciate it. And I look forward to the next segment.
All right.
Wonderful.
Looking forward to the return engagement already. Cheers, brother. Like that line about the illicit drugs. My shrink yesterday, and yes, I've got a shrink. My shrink yesterday told me that I should use marijuana as a cure for some of what ails me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of... I'm sorry.
Hey, you know...
I understand certain aspects of it, and I understand that, but...
I
know somebody who has an addictive personality who should not be given advice to, hey, take this drug so that it could possibly open a gateway to a whole bunch of other stuff that we've already gone through in our life.
Next thing you know, he's the gatekeeper and he's floating around looking for the, you know,
I'm Lothar.
Exactly. But
I'm just gonna
ask this question, knowing full well that J. Todd has a penchant for indie, you know, kind of startup personalities, guys like that. You know, just I know that that's kind of the crowd you like working with, creative people. So let me just ask this: does this shrink have an office? Have maybe a receptionist take appointments? Do they actually have any diplomas on the wall someplace other than Jughead's online?
No, they have a diploma on the wall. In all seriousness, I totally rejected that because after a year and 3 months, roughly, of sobriety, I'm a control freak. I don't want to be out of control with my body like I used
to. That's good. That's really cool.
Yeah, maybe I should. And then I'm on the way home, I'm like,
No way!
Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, hey, cool.
All right. Are we doing a submission or are we doing a...
We'll do a submission. All right. Let me...
we've got lots of submissions. I might not even read tonight. You know, whatever.
I'm going to try to read one from my book, which has actually had a cool little upswing of sales recently, which I'm really excited about.
You should work that magic with my
World Poetry Open Mic bump, huh?
Yeah, we're working on the World Poetry Open Mic bump right now. Right now, it looks more like measles and you kind of need to go to the doctor for it. But hopefully we'll end up being the PR nightmare that other publishers cannot handle. Yeah. That's what we're working for. But this this submission comes to us from Kirkuk, Iraq.
Oh, nice.
Which is a city in Iraq that, as far as I know, is under siege by ISIS. But it comes to us from a friend of ours named Nadwan, who's a dentistry student.
It should still be fall there, too. It's not winter. Oh, ISIS, not ice.
Yeah, and, dude, ice in Kirkuk.
All right, sorry.
No, and so Nadwan is a dentistry student there and is a good friend of the show, writes some great work. He's published, and this one is called Sonnet 7. The sage and the stupid, thy love is not a war, yet it is still a cold strife. Maybe it is bitter and sore, but it is the only proof to us for being alive. Maybe mind is now in control and heart is prisoned in a cage. Maybe dreams can never break thy Berlin Wall and will is faded by the invasion of age. Maybe sighs are silenced behind this iron curtain and loyalty is now a sin. But I can never turn this page, 'cause I still believe that our cause will win. Yet I know I am not a sage to know how we shall end after we begin. And that was written on the 11th of October of this year at 5:30 a.m. He says it's from his second divan, Bella de la Fatute. And it is the first free verse sonnet in this university year for him. He says, as always and forever, I dedicate the sonnet to Roshana, I'm totally going to butcher this, Hoshyar Naji, my beloved inspirer and colleague at the dentistry faculty of Kirkuk State. I'm wrong. Kirkuk State University, he is not a student. It appears that he is faculty.
Nice.
So, Nadwan, as always, wonderful work. Sorry about any mispronunciations of the names there at the end. But thank you, and please keep submitting.
Nadwan, yes. Thank you for being a longtime friend of the show now. All right. So, that does it for that segment. You're going to want to call in. If you're Anita, Martin Carroll, Jaylene that called during the first segment, we couldn't get you in. Now is the time to call 720-240-9766.
We need 5 new callers. We're also going to be doing a new submission this segment. Let's do it. 720-240-9766.
We do put the odd in oddcasting. Hell yeah, CW McCall, throwing down for the World Poetry Open Mic family.
Do you remember how excited we were? It was like, was our first few months, right?
Yeah, it was literally the first couple of months.
First couple of months, and we had it set up, and I remember you coming in. We were all so nervous to make sure the call was right to get it, to record him doing that. It was so nice of him. He was so...
So personable.
So, nice. So personable and humble and a really just a great guy.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
And he's an amazing guy. I'd like to have him do a couple more for us, actually. Maybe we can make that happen.
You know, and one other thing I'm going to bring up quickly is, and we've talked about him before because he passed away not long ago, but man, we had Lenny C. come in
yeah.
and sit in the studio and read, and it was just having a master sitting there.
Yeah. You know, he didn't really read. Did you notice that?
He recited.
He just recited, right?
He had the stuff, and he just dropped it, and he just knew what he was doing. But, man, and that was another guy who was just so and a lot of people knew him. I mean, it was a big thing. He was a big deal, and a professor and all that. You'd never know. He was just so...
Just real.
Gentle and real and supportive and cool. What a great... group of people surround this and still surround this around the show.
And we have actually a segment that we've been waiting for. We actually have new callers outnumbering old callers on this segment.
I love that.
So let's get right to a new caller. She's calling from Colorado. Please welcome Jaylene.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Welcome aboard.
Well, thank you. It's taken me a while.
Well, we've got a question that we ask all of our new callers. How did you hear about our show?
Let's see. I'm pretty sure it was my son, Brennan.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He hasn't called us in a while, but we love the hell out of his work, too.
Isn't that a great way to realize that we got a new caller because we went to Denny's?
Yeah.
Which we're happy Ew. With. That's great.
Yeah, he's a great kid. He's got quite the talent with words.
You should be very proud of him.
I am. He's a fantastic kid.
All right, Mom, time for you to teach us where you learned all this from. It's time for you to share your poetry.
All right. Gosh, I have so much. I could probably call in for the next 10 years.
Please do.
Hey, good news. We're going to be here. So
yeah, we're not going anywhere.
Okay. Well, I was listening to you actually earlier, and you said that you only have one Friday night off.
No. We take about 4 or 5 off a year.
Right. One Friday night a month.
No, not even a month.
Not even a month.
It's
like every 2 months.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, anyway, so I picked one that was recently. I wrote it last probably close to becoming wintertime because I love summer.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. You ready?
Ready.
It's called Winter's Presence. The cold lays still. The snow covers the now sleeping life of summer. Distant leaves cling to the mother of their life, not willing to let her go. Trees now stripped bare, brave the snap of winter's breath, sturdy to rise. Flowers withered and fallen, gone as if summer never was. The wind sings in peaceful sways, whispers of light, perfect motion. The calm edges of a winter sky loom for daybreak. The new day arrives nary to a far-off cry. Summer. That's it.
That was a great one.
Yes.
Now we liked it.
Really liked it. And now we know where your son gets his gift with words.
Yeah, so.
Jaylene, keep calling our show. I'd love to hear a lot more of your work.
Yeah, thanks. That was fun. I did it. Yay.
You did.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And you know what? We have a return engagement segment coming up later tonight, too. You can call back and do 2 in a night.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, I have a little grandbaby girl here. She needs my attention.
Well, okay.
Well,
you know, we know how we rate. We're not above the grandchildren at all.
Well, thank you. That was wonderful. And I'll keep calling in.
Thank you, Jaylene.
Sounds great.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That was Jaylene on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. All right. Wow. Just throwing down like her son does. Poetry-wise.
No, I know. I just, it's completely cool in context. It's just, I've been doing this thing recently where I take sentences and just immediately pull them out of context and just realize how awesome some of those things are. Mm-hmm. Like when I was asked to hypnotize people at the same time as make my eyebrows dance on my face. In context, it still was kind of weird. But when you take it out,
yeah,
it's even weirder.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do that all the time.
Which one? Hypnotize people or make your eyebrows dance across your face?
Neither. Take things out of context.
Oh, take things out of context.
Yeah. All the time.
Trust me, he does.
Especially at work.
Yeah.
You on purpose?
Nope.
Oh.
Just happens.
Okay.
So, we've got another new caller, guys. You guys want to go to them?
Oh, yeah, we're doing that show.
Yeah, this is a special new caller, too. So,
all
right. Please welcome from Texas, he is David.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going good. Got a couple of questions for you. First off, do you mind if I publicize what you told us before you, when you came in? That this
no,
is,
that's fine.
Okay. This is David's first reading of his poetry anywhere. He's never called the show before. He's never done an open mic. This is his first time doing spoken word art. Second off, we have to ask you, where did you hear about our show?
I heard about it from, I forget her name. There's a woman that shares places that are looking for poetry submissions and such on Facebook. Trish something.
Nice.
I can't think of her name right now.
Awesome.
Cool.
Well, thank you, Trish, and thank you for calling in, man. That's, yes. We're looking forward to hearing your
and
work.
You're very brave to take your first time on our show, and I respect the hell out of you for it.
Thank you.
All right. Now is your time if you want to read your poem.
Okay, great. Okay, the title is Time Dilation in Autumn. We sat in fields of endless vertigo, the black sky spilling about us the millet grains of a million stars. We shone like a pair of shears glinting in the evening sun. You gave me the wavering ribbon of time, the oath of the stars, the promise of morning. And time bent around the gravity of our sun-soaked laughter, the fringe of golden autumn light refracting in our souls, the air tasting of hayrides and sleepless nights smoking on the roof, the hammocks hanging between oak trees, pine and maple cords aligned, the chill of summer's shoulder as it obeys the constellations in their turn. The garden grieves the loss of bay and seed, but we luxuriate, alive at once in past and present, a frozen moment of time dilation. Thank you.
Holy cow! That was your first time reading your poetry ever?
Well, to anyone other than me or perhaps my fiance.
Wow. That's awesome, I was. Man. Have you seen the startling sheep where they kind of freeze up and then fall over? That was kind of what I did when you started reading, but you are going to be the great spoken word artist.
Great. Thank you.
Hey, keep calling our show. I really enjoyed your work.
Fantastic. I will. Thank you very much.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
That was David from Texas on World Poetry Open Mic. Taking the next his first time on the next evolution in Poetry Radio.
So I was getting kind of nervous there. I jumped the gun a little bit. I thought you were going to pass out again like one of the sheep.
No. Wow.
You know, there was a long period of time I was convinced that I had superpowers because I would just stare at J. Todd until he passed out.
No, it was... It was the old number 7 I used to drink.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. What am I going to do? It's like working with 12-year-olds. It really is.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
So,
I know a lot of 12-year-olds. It is not like working with 12-year-olds.
No, you have to teach 12-year-olds. That's a whole different ball of wax.
That's very true.
All right. So, we're going to go from one great spoken word artist to another. Please welcome from New Jersey, he is Tommy. Tommy, are you with us?
Hey, Tommy from Jersey.
I'm right here, guys.
Right on. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Awesome.
Oh, man. Have you guys been? You guys had that day off last week.
Yeah, you know, it was good. I had personal family stuff I had to do. JT was traveling the world like most iconic producers in Poetry Radio do.
What, there's a lot of them?
There's a lot of, you meant of a lot of producers. There's a lot of JT, but no, just kidding.
Oh, nice.
Well, cheers, guys. I hope all is well.
All is well, my friend.
I've been advertising you guys on my poetry Instagram.
Thank you, man.
I want everybody online to know about you guys so they can come in and support you and they could get the work out there. I posted you guys up a couple hours ago, so beautiful. If any of my followers are listening or trying to read, stick with these guys. They're really good. They put on a good show.
Thank you.
That's awesome, Tommy. We appreciate that. Man, are you on Twitter, by the way?
Not for poetry, but it's my personal Twitter. But I don't really use it because...
Fair enough.
I don't really feel like anyone cares what I have to tweet.
Hey, yeah, that's cool enough. Instagram's kind of cool. It's got a whole other vibe to it, man. So we'll find you on there. We're going to be setting up our own Instagram, and we'll connect with you there.
That'd be great.
Awesome, man.
For tonight, I have this poem I wrote from the year in college when I first started writing, when I first started getting into the world of, I guess, the underground world of my generation, I guess. It's called I Honestly Don't Know. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. The ones we hurt the most and the ones who hurt us the most are ours. Part of us, our beloved boomerang admirers, and they're the ones who love us more than anything. Yugoslavians aggressively panhandling for depositions from unrelated denizens of the gin joint. A panoramic view of a wiretap room with a lunatic with latent panic that is undisturbed. Hoarded handouts, admissions, acceptance, embarking on a new flight of stairs, and the pitter-patter of foreign fitted shoes. Coming across label makers, Jew, queer, black, steer clear, than those who memorize banned books and recite them, who question the validity and relevance of tradition and old-fashioned ways. Finding things in common, taste in music, fondness in wine, alike minds that crave astonishing world-widening writings and thought-provoking art. A libation to the collision of the alive and living, and a somewhat scary vision that breaks the black and white patterns of a wheel of fortune and misfortune with a lance of optimistic disregard. Stealing kisses and sipping on top-shelf liquor, smoking mystic cigarettes from Indian mountains, idioms and vernacular, dedicated guardian angels who hang their heads and rest their faces in their palms in puzzled disappointment. New visions in music, in literature, in technology, but actually in self-expression, communication, and progression. A stab with a knife into the stuffy conservative dollar sign-chasing guard, and let the prisoners of self-doubting overlooked misleading go free. The complex complexions of cement commitment. Walking out as an infant, walking away in an instant, instantaneous fear and spontaneous combustion, a noose. Legendary. No, not yet. Sing it to me. Play it. Lay morality to sleep and raise yourself up and proclaim a new way today. A jumbled viewpoint that is brilliant but completely sound. Have a sip. Your hatred look deep. Snatch it and rip it out and let it go. Busting up regulations and requirements. Creating an image that cannot be simulated. This is originated from the imitation out of respect from the innovative minds. Slow it down. Go. The lust, the envy, two ingredients for a new story. All that's left is spilled blood and you're done. Drift and go on dimly onto lit treks to subconscious and give birth to underived works. The world may burn, it may melt, it may freeze, but it will shine. Surrender and transform. Stand still, then ascend. The ones who need to fall into our laps along with the decision we all must make to help them or pass them by. Click-clack, close my keyboard, revisits to the times before, with the aid of chemicals and inspiration mixed with masturbation and crazy obsession. The feeling of being replaced, like lying in bed on a cold night without a blanket that is someplace better to be. My dear naval nautical nincompoop, I miss you. You're fighting pirates and soon terrorists. You know it's useless. You don't want to be part of this nonsensical, unholy political unrest. You yourself are a poet. You don't write, but your life is your poetry. It's beautiful. You want to live, not just exist. Be wary. I've seen the pandemonium festering in your heart. You were lucky in your naivety and your exile in paradise. You've been hurt looking for love, live, land, and all the above. Foolproof plans in an ideal daylight. The suicide of the farmer's daughter, California sushi roll, burning embers and red-hot coals. Best of luck to you. No elegy, a eulogy, see it to the end. Distract them, steal the vital piece, and proceed to take what you came for. It's okay. Forget what you've been spoon-fed your whole life, the greatest caper committed. jam the doors with skeleton keys, skull and crossbones on the bottles, take whatever you can carry, no man left behind, leaving a knot in your throat, imprints for them to see and know why we did what we have done, phony fame in the upper hand inclined to shame. This is a time and place for treason when all is ugly and bigoted, for you will be this young at this very second and never again. Shoot from the hip and fly high on the seat of your pants. The grungy soap dish, domestic disagreements, empty reflections, rapping at the window. Go away, please, for your sake and mine. It's insane. I expunge you from my life, not in hate, but in agony. We both know it's for the best. Don't be spiteful. I hate being used. Just a tool to be left behind. An extraordinary callowness. Let's take a walk around the universe. I see two lovers showing their vulnerabilities to each other. I see a man and a man making love so pure. I see my friend traveling the world. I see an amateur addict about to take their first step into a lifelong dependency. I hear the screams about from those about to be murdered. Does this quench your thirst for reality? Aiding and abetting, guilty by association, confession of guilt, squandering the bail money. Forget that. There's a rat, a bum rap, a murder rap, saving you from yourself, following no matter where you go, always. Others will fail you, but you must never fail yourself. Drop down, drown, die. So many futile attempts, smutty submissions, preponderant talent. And that's about it.
Hell yeah.
I know I say this every time you call in, but man, you have a certain Kerouac-esque to your delivery. Very well done, my friend.
Thank you so much, guys. Love you guys.
Love you too,
we
man.
We love you too. Thank We're glad you're part of our family.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Hopefully you'll call back for the return engagement.
I will. Enjoy
All right.
the rest of the show.
Beautiful. That was Tommy from New Jersey on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
You know what's so cool? We talked about this before the show. The fact that we're able to sit here and essentially, and everybody listening, everybody in the chat room, everybody yeah. who's, you know, whatever you're doing and you're listening to the show, we're all kind of involved in the same conversation right now. And it's like we're sitting in one room and we're able to listen and, you know, listen to people talk and whatever. It's pretty damn cool that we're able to do this because we know we have listeners in other countries. We know we have, you know, all around.
The continents. And
oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty incredible.
And with the way it's delivered, we may have listeners on Mars at this point.
Well, that's at this point?
Well, yeah, because, you know, you've
they
seen,
got
the,
Wi-Fi
you've
on
seen
Mars.
The news reports about the hieroglyphs that they found on Mars.
That I wouldn't call that a news report.
This would be new to me.
Yes, they supposedly found hieroglyphs on some of the rocks on Mars. That match up hieroglyphics here in Earth.
I don't think I'd call
You're
that a credible
news report.
You're
giving me Forrest Whitaker eye. What are you doing?
Yeah, dude, I'm going to give you Forrest Whitaker eye too. I wouldn't say that's verified news yet, unless NASA comes out with it, or SNASA, secret NASA, comes out with it.
Really?
Would that be JPL?
No, JPL's not secretive. Yeah. It can't be.
I just love the idea there could be a secret NASA called SNASA.
Maybe SNASA is Shadow NASA. You ever think about that? All right.
God.
So, from New Jersey, we're going to take it all the way out to Detroit to save ourselves from this weird tangent we've gone off of. Please welcome a first-time caller to our show. She is Anita. Hello, Anita.
Hi, this is Anita. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm so glad to be here. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. We have a question we ask all our first-time callers. How did you hear about our show?
I did. I was on Facebook this morning, and I was going through the different forums, and I came across one of the poetry forums, and I was scrolling down, and I saw information, and then I immediately clicked to join.
You know what?
Wonderful.
I think that was me that was posting. It was like it would be 5 o'clock your time. It was 4 o'clock here. Correct?
Yes, Michael. Because I had put on that, so I'm so glad to be part of this. And Michael had sent back, said, glad to have you.
Oh, nice. He and I, we work in weird ways, but yes, awesome. Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
So do you have a poem you'd like to share with us?
I do. And this is, it's called Universal Emergency. As a matter of fact, you guys' dialogue was the perfect prelude, introduction to my piece.
Oh, perfect. Glad it was good for something.
Yeah. Well, we knew this ahead of time, right?
Yeah,
yeah, totally, okay, totally set up, right?
Yeah, okay. Here we go. Okay, it's titled Universal Emergency. An emergency call to the universe. A single pain is felt throughout the earth. Even the heavens call to the angels for song. But for a song of healing, song of divine unity. Fear temporarily assails us, courage prevails. The celestial bodies of the universe hear the cry of souls as one. Mars console, Saturn caress, Jupiter dries our tear, Pluto heals our heart, Mercury glides, Neptune embrace, Venus's blaze slices the thickness of hate. The moon lightens the darkness and the sun gives us hope that Father Time will be still. As Mother Earth reveals, an emergency call to the universe is heard. Thank you.
Anita, well written, well read. I love it.
Thank you.
We're so happy to have you on the show, Anita. That's awesome.
And
thank you.
Don't quit calling our show. We love your work.
Thank you so much. Okay.
That was Anita on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio.
Man.
And you know, depending on what each of our listeners believe, I really hope that the muse, the cherubim and seraphim, the angels bless everybody with inspiration this week as we're getting ready for next week's show. We do have another caller for this segment. Please welcome from Pennsylvania, she is Martin Carroll.
Martin Carroll. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to our show.
Love it.
Thank you. You're my turn. Your listening device down just a little bit. I'm catching feedback off of, well, I'm hearing myself, which drives myself insane.
Oh, it might be. I had to have it up high because the poets, I don't hear them real good. Is that better?
That's much better.
That's pretty,
okay.
That's just when you're on the phone. It's a thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to recite a poem. It's for the brokenhearted, and it's called Haunted by a Memory. It's talking to somebody, and it starts out with, "Ola, how is my yummy, humongous devil food cake doing? Guess what? I love you, my love. It is a big as, my love for you is as big as an Empire State Building is tall. Do I have the right building? I need you. I need you now. And that someone is you and only you. I need to be wrapped in the comfort of someone's arms, to kiss so tenderly, to love and to be loved in return. That someone is you. There is no other that has a chance to capture my heart, who I can surrender to, totally giving you the key to my heart. Someone I can lean on when I feel too weak to carry on, to hold me up when stumbling, ready to fall. Feeling like I can't go on for just another day. My heart has shattered like a mirror crashing to the floor. It's not mending, spiritually dying. I'm just not the who that I used to be. I am in love with the shadow of the past, and can you mend my broken heart?"
It's a powerful piece.
Very strong piece. Thank you, Martin Carroll.
You're quite welcome.
And we'll hear from you during the return engagement as well?
Do you mean next time or this time?
Well, no, we were going to do one more segment to see if we have more callers that want to participate. But at the end of the show, we also do a return engagement.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. I'll try to find one because I'm working on a lot of them and they're not quite finished.
Fair enough.
If I find one... No, soon enough, I'll reach another one.
Beautiful.
Sounds great.
Okay.
That was Martin Carroll on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. So, are you doing a submission? Do you want me to...
Well, I have a submission, but it's open to you because we did one last segment.
Doesn't matter. tell you what, I'll read this one. It's kind of short. It's a sonnet.
How about you read this one, and then I'll read the submission.
Okay. We'll do both. Okay.
Yeah. This one's pretty short, too.
This one I have not published. I have not put up anywhere. It's, and we've got one, I submitted one for the anthology that kind of leaves me feeling like a snail without its shell, open, exposed. This is going to be one of those as well. When I wrote it, I swore I would never publish it or put it out, and when I found it tonight, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. For those that know me really well, lost my brother about 3 years ago to self-inflict, and this was written literally 10 days after he decided to depart this earth. This is entitled Loki's Demise. My God, Loki, what is it you have done? All of the senseless pain that you have inflicted, all of the yarns you have left unspun, your exit has left me so conflicted. You made me hate you in your final days, but you cannot erase the love as well. And the guilt now heavy within me weighs, did you go unto heaven or down to hell? As your pain ended, our pain just began, such a waste of talent and potential. Surrender from such a tormented man, your works will remain so quintessential. May your selfish deed finally bring you peace. In your passing, my torment did increase.
Wow.
Yeah. I got through it.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, we were talking about that before the show, too, that I know you were nervous about reading that piece.
I was, and I got to say, I still feel open and exposed in ways that I have not yet done on the show, so.
But I think that, and I think everybody who's a listener here would agree with me that part of being an artist is being able to open yourself up. And as difficult as that is the real intense work that we're called to do as creative people. We can't just be safe, because all the people who need the creative people of this world to help them express and process things, they don't deserve our weakness. They deserve our strength. And I think being willing to be open and vulnerable without armor is the ultimate strength. So good for you, man, and great, great work.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to read a fairly quick submission here. This is from Haley Maj. It's called Tears. I wish my tears tasted like chocolate. I wouldn't mind the sweetness of velvet on the tip of my tongue. I wish my tears smelled like honeysuckle. It reminds me of a home I once cherished. I wish my tears felt like pillows. I would prop myself up in my bed and snuggle with my favorite book. I wish my tears looked like diamonds. Oh, how they would sparkle as they adorned my ears and my eyes with wealthy intentions. I wish my tears sounded like the rain. The rain soothes me to sleep and I feel right. I wish my tears were groceries. I can feed my children with ample nutrition and they will flourish. I wish my tears made dollars and cents, the flow so abundant I can get out of debt. I wish my tears were a lot of things. Right now, they're my only consolation and outlet. Whoa, that was from Haley Maj. It's called Tears.
Another one, leaving herself exposed.
Yeah, see,
wow.
And Haley, that's a great example. When it's honest, you can tell. And that's one of the things that I think is, when you listen to old blues records, you can really get a sense of it. I mean, like the really old ones, before it became the show business stuff. Yeah. When you listen to old country music, those old songs, you can hear that, and it's real. And man, that's a... Haley, great work.
Yeah, Haley, great work. Thank you for contributing to our show. And now is the time, if you want to contribute to our show, you can be one of the next five callers. Give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766. Bring your A game. You need five more.
Five more now.
Time is running out to join World Poetry Open Mic as they're ready to publish their first anthology of poetry. If you would like to be included in this anthology, submit your poetry using the contact form at worldpoetryopenmic.net and use anthology as the subject. It is you, the caller, and you, the listener, who make World Poetry Open Mic what it is, and we would love for you to join us in this endeavor as well. Submissions must be completed by October 31st, 2015, World Poetry Open Mic's first anthology. Don't delay. Submit today.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Doom, art producer is working overtime during that break. Wow, could you get any more amplification out of that, that commercial?
Can I just throw something out there? I'm not going to name names, but some of our callers, don't wait until the last 3 seconds of the break. Just call in. It's cool, guys. Be cool.
It's all good.
Be cool. Be fine. Yeah. You don't have to skate in there at the last second. It's all right. We got you.
However, we did only get 3 callers that segment.
No, don't hang up.
Don't hang up. That's all right. Mariah will reboot you into the spot that you were. Not that you were the last one, but you can call back when it is the third slot. We did only get 3 callers, so let's go ahead and start into them. We've got Juanita Garcia Vera from Texas on the line. Juanita, are you with us? Hello. Oh,
yes.
Hey, welcome.
Hello. Yes, I'm calling in. I've got a poem.
All right.
My name's Juanita Garcia Vera, and it's called The Little Farmhouse. I saw city lights and bright streets aglow. I dreamed life would be grand, an ongoing show. But within months, the city lights fizzled. Lights burned dim to thin, while I felt my soul wither without sense of being. I knelt by the road. All at once, I was home. In my dream, the wind blew on the field, the land full of tall stalks of ripe golden corn that swayed in the breeze. It shook the corn stalks while the cobs fell to earth, for I picked each and every one to cook in a pot that bubbled and hissed. Oh, how I have missed the little farmhouse. No hot water, no heat, no road of concrete, no shoes, patched attire, beans, rice, and corn flour. 4 dirt roads that ran north, south, east, and west. In my heart was pissed. For my mother I see waiting for me. No grander place be than the little farmhouse, place that grew all my dreams. That's it.
Love the little farmhouse. Very well done.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I grew up, South Texas.
South Texas, nice. It gets a little warm down there in the summertime, doesn't it?
In South Texas, it is hot.
It's hot, not warm, hot.
It doesn't get warm, it's hot.
Really, really hot. Uh-huh. Okay.
Thank you, Juanita.
Thank you.
That was Juanita Garcia Vera on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetrado. Calling from Texas. All right. I feel like cooling down a little bit. You guys want to go up to New Hampshire? I hear it's wonderful in the fall time.
You know, your metaphorical way of speaking freaks me out, man.
You know, I have that weird creeper vibe to me.
When I walk into a coffee shop, I'm like, who wants to go down to Texas? No one looks me in the eye.
No.
Everybody looks the other direction. When I walk in and say, who wants to cool down and go to New Hampshire? Same thing.
Yeah. But little do they know we're offering to buy them plane tickets to go there. But anyway, someone that's calling from New Hampshire, please welcome Jalorian.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back to our show.
Well, thank you. Tonight, I have a story for you, keeping with the season.
Nice.
I call this one, and it's a little dark, I call this one Death of a Midwife. They do not stop to ask her what the chants she sings are for when she hears the thud of heavy-handed pounding on her door. She cannot write her name or read the summons that they post, and it is the not knowing that frightens her the most. They grab her by the shoulders and they throw her to the ground. She thinks she should be screaming, but she cannot find a sound. The lighted torch flies by her and lands before the hearth and then consumes the cabin she has lived in since her birth. The word she hears them shrieking in a shrill and angry pitch is the one that feeds the pyre in the square. The word is witch, and they chant it as they drag her before the magistrate. These children of a loving God who are consumed with hate. They strip her of her clothing, each and every strand, then they commence to beat her till she's much too weak to stand, and they cut her hair and break her bones and say it's for her good, and they say that she is evil, while they're covered in her blood. Then, alas, when she has taken all the pain that she can bear, she confesses to it all and tells them what they want to hear. She does not know and does not care what happens to her now. She only knows that they will kill her, though she knows not why or how she's come to be in this position as they lead her to the cart and take her to the executioner, that he may play his part. So she stands upon the kindling, hands bound behind her back, and she sees the man who will burn her, though his face is draped in black, and she looks out at the faces of her neighbors and her friends who never told her what she did that she might try to make amends. She sees this mob around her who know nothing of her worth, even those whose pain she eased while on the blocks of childbirth, or the children she brought forth with skill that kept them from the grave, or the husbands that she comforted when they could not be brave. She feels a tear cut through the blackened soot upon her cheek, and she wants to ask them why, but she has lost the strength to speak when she spots a grim and solitary figure in the crowd, and the hatred and contempt of her in which he is enshrouded. He bears a striking countenance, which at first she cannot place, then all at once she's recognized the stern and angry face of a man who'd had a wife, but although the midwife tried to save the mother and the child, in the end the pair had died. And the horror comes upon her as the torch is touched to wood, and as she smells her own flesh burning, it is sadly understood that in the madness and the darkness of his loss and grief and shame, this poor man cannot survive at all with no one else to blame. And yet, although she is dying a truly monstrous death, she draws the smoke in deeply and it burns her final breath, and she screams up to the heavens one last thought she would impart, that though she's angry and she's scared, there is forgiveness in her heart. And the dust and smoke and ashes lift her essence up above this throng of ugly, hangry children who have forgotten how to love this poor old woman who had birthed them and healed them all their lives, who is reduced at last to ashes like so many other wives. And the dust and smoke and ashes are transported by a crow to that place beyond the curtain where the living cannot go. And the gods themselves all greet her, yes, each and every one, in a place known as the Summerland, Utopia, Zion. And they bathe her in the ether, and they clothe her in the wind, and they laugh aloud at the very thought that she had sinned. And they gild her hair in starlight, and they kiss her gentle brow, and she lives right there among them, for she is a goddess now.
Wow. Heck yes. Man, what a great short story.
Thank you. Happy October.
Happy October. That was intense.
And he doesn't mean camping.
No, I don't mean camping at all. Jay Lorian, thank you for all you contribute to our show. You're an amazing spoken word artist.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You as well. That was Jay Lorian on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Ooh.
I just want to let that marinate for a while. What we just heard. What, as I've done in my past, overindulging, what we just experienced. All right. Trying to buy time for... is she on? You are like magic, my friend. Please welcome our last caller for this segment and the last caller for the unique caller segments. Please welcome Mariah from Minnesota.
Hello.
Hello. Our technical producer literally, he says we're broadcasting on internet. I believe it's FM, actually, because that was effing magic.
How many years have you been wanting to use that joke there, man? How long did that take you?
No, I've been holding on to that for years.
That's why you wanted us to get syndicated.
Yes.
So you could use that one joke. Oh, see, now I see the game plan. Yes. Mariah, how's it going?
My phone is going to die very shortly here, so.
Okay, so just let you get to it. Let you crush it.
I actually wrote this between the time I got on and now, and I just wrote the last line before I called.
All right.
So, I'm thinking of calling it Minnesota Night and Memories, but I'm not sure, but here goes. On a cold night, before the first snow, but after the leaves have turned and breath leaves the lips like clouded ashes, my thoughts crawl along crescent moons and chain my wish to a dying star. I am naive. I send it away, flying up like a prayer out of my fingertips as I search the skies for answers to every question I've ever asked, but only find silence in the calls that echo back. And I don't know how I got here. Stuck in this place between worlds full of beauty and danger and words that I can't quite seem to understand. They are fragmented, fractured and floating. Just out of reach of hands grasping at empty air, beware. If I reach too far, I may fall. I don't want to fall. There's something scary about the darkness. About the smiling grin of night as it swallows up the sun. I hide under street lamps, ask for protection as I try to wrap myself in the orange glow. I try to take it with me, to fight off the shadows with a fistful of light, but each time I close my hands to grab it, it disappears. I'm confused. There's something mysterious about the darkness, about how it can mask both God and the devil as they roam the streets and alleyways. I dance in the space just beyond the lake, still flirting with the halo of serenity and the waiting jaws of chaos. I am free but not free, burdened by my fears but too old to be afraid of the dark, so the grin on my face as I spin around is more false bravado than I care to admit. I am lost. There's something bold about the darkness, about how it reaches out and dares the pain to pierce it. I wish I knew what it felt like to be able to run without looking where I'm going and not giving a damn if I have to squeeze into the corners to embrace the unknown, at least. I wish I could recognize that the chill down my spine was never from the cold and that maybe, with time, I could find my place between dying stars, capture wishes with the magic known as night as I hang from the moon. I am home.
As always, Mariah, stellar performance, stellar way to slide in a poem right before you go on the air and just crush it out of the park.
That's every week.
I know. You know, there's like Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday that you can write
poetry.
Or Thursday. Yeah.
I know, but it's like, it's that deadline. It's like, oh, I got to get something done.
I get it.
Well, as you get older and more mature, you will find that deadlines really should be met before the deadline comes up to you.
Yeah, I've never really gotten along with deadlines.
You know what, Mariah? He just pulled the "when you get older and more mature" card. I think it's totally fine to just eject yourself from that one. I do every time he brings it up. When you're older and more mature, Michael, you'll understand the value of pants.
No, see, Michael, that's the thing. You are slightly older, but you're not more mature. You will never be more mature.
I know. And I'm very happy about that, actually.
Maturity is just knowing when and where.
To take your pants off?
Yes.
Pretty much.
I just think I'm ready to party when I walk in. Why waste time?
Might be.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Everyone's wearing their birthday suit under their clothes.
That's right.
That's true. And I've said that for years, actually, Mariah. The thought that keeps me awake is we're all naked underneath our clothes.
But here's the thing, now that we're in the Halloween season, that scares me more than anything, is when we're alone and we're in a room in the dark, quietly in our bed, no matter how safe we are, there is still a scary and spooky skeleton inside of all of us.
Wow. How long have you been waiting to use that one up here?
I just made that up.
Right. I think he's been holding on to that one for a while.
Actually, no. James, my brother, came up with that. That really? Was the tagline. Yeah, he started a band called the Spooky Five. There were only three of them, and that was their tagline.
Nice.
Only two of them have skeletons inside of them?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's weird.
Mariah, thank you for sharing on our show. And will you be writing one during the return engagement as well?
I sure will try. And awesome. If I don't manage it, I'll just say hi.
Beautiful. Or, you know, you guys suck and hang up on us. Yes.
Right. Yeah, I might do that too.
All right.
Awesome. I always say I will, but I haven't yet.
I know. We're expecting it, so it's not going to happen. It's when we don't expect it is when it'll happen.
When we're having a really rough show and we're all like, no one likes us. No one. And then Mariah's going to do it. We'll be like, no one seriously does like us. That's what's going to happen.
I do have to find a charger, though, if that's going to happen. So.
All right. Mariah, thank you very much.
Yep.
That was Mariah on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. You know, I go through that every week. It's like a cycle. I'll do the show. I'll leave the studio, and Mike and JT were like, "I'm like that show sucked. It wasn't that good." Blah blah blah, and I'll hate myself. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I'll get into editing the show, and I'll be like, "That really wasn't that bad of a show." Then Tuesday comes along, that was actually a really good show, and then I'm like excited for the next coming show, to where I reset and think that we tanked it again.
You know, no, I understand. You know, we all kind of do that, but you also should know we love you for all your insecurities.
Thank you.
You're still our best girl, J. Todd.
You're without pants. I think I need a hug.
I'm just going to do one of those lean forward hugs.
Oh. You know,
okay, there you go, buddy. There you go. Okay.
All right. So, that being said, we do have a special member of our crew that's not the Haiku Master.
A special member?
He recently published his first book, and it's with...
First poetry book, yeah.
His first poetry book, and it's with proud pleasure that I bring forth the poet, Michael Amade, to share the first from his book.
Well, I was going to do one about depression, but that just went out the window, so... No.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
No. All right, now this one, I'm going to read quickly, it's not too long. And it's the reason I'm reading this one is the illustrations are being done to make this a children's book for next year, which will be exciting. So Draven Gray from The Silent Still has been hard at work at the illustrations for this one. Excited about it. It's called The Land Behind Your Eyes. I'll meet you there in the land behind your eyes, between shadow and a dream. Beyond the clouds and the moonlit skies. All matter of things dwell there, laying low or flying high. There is never a cause for sadness. There are never any tears to cry. There are adventures to be had and stories so wide that you could spend your life inside them and not reach the other side. There are vast blue oceans beyond sands of pure white. There are valleys of soft grass beyond mountains that rise so high. There are good places for hiding and secret spots no one can find. There are fields for running and trails where no one gets left behind. There are people who love you so much they could scream, and there are dreams so real that reality seems like just a dream. For what is dream but the truth, and what is the truth but a dream? And all the things that seem so simple and small are never really what they seem. I'll meet you there in the land behind your eyes, between shadow and a dream, beyond the clouds and the moonlit skies. So, yeah, that one will be a children's book coming out in 2016. Some really nice artwork.
I got to say, I was thumbing through your book that you put between us during the pre-show, and that was one of the ones that I was hoping you would read, actually.
Oh, cool.
So
awesome, man.
Very, very pleased. Once again, Michael Amade, the now published poet,
Yeah, I've only put out, I've only written hundreds of songs.
That escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
You know, I killed a man with a trident.
There you go.
I know. I saw that. You might want to leave town.
You might want to lay low for a while because you're probably wanted for murder. If you're interested in looking up the book, it's Michael Amadei on Amazon. The book's called The Fall.
Wow. And you make it look so good. I mean, the book looks stunning.
Thank you.
Yeah. Everybody should go out and get a copy, including me. When I'm in the throes of my winter blues, January 15th, 16th or something.
When you're smurfing it out.
When I'm smurfing it out. And I'm crying myself to sleep. That's when I'm going to go online and order it.
Smurfing it out.
Okay, so there's this thing called reframing, right? So where it's very easy to get depressed at the end of the year if you change it. I remember hearing some personal trainer talking about when you go off your diet, and he frames it as just eating like, and I'm not going to say the actual word, but he's like basically like eating like a jackass. And when he frame not eating a good diet like that, you start to think of it as like a moral, like it's an offensive thing that you're doing. And so when you think about being depressed, which I do, at the end of the year, I get seasonal affective disorder and all that. But when I start looking at it as smurfing it like a jackass, it suddenly doesn't sound as poetic as being depressed at the end of the year. You're just being a jackass.
I do. I get the wintertime blues, and usually it gets at its worst right before that weird freak January warm snap that we get. And then that kind of carries me through till spring.
Yeah, I can totally get that. But that's I hole up in a studio and record stuff. That's what I do.
And swallow. What's your deal?
Nothing. I don't get depressed during the winter.
You love the winter.
I love it.
Yeah.
You're not working this therapy session.
I'm sorry.
You're supposed to loose with your feelings.
It's okay. I know.
I don't really like the summer. It's way too hot.
Like all good sound engineers, he doesn't. When he gets depressed, things shut down. It's when he's feeling good that things are flowing well.
Yeah.
And that's a sound engineer trait I've actually noticed. That's a real thing.
So
yeah. I like it when you're not depressed. Actually, I like it when both of you are not depressed.
Well, yeah, it's always a good thing.
Yeah.
So, all right. We've done our segments of original callers. Now is the time for our return engagement. You're going to want to call 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766. Let's return this.
This engagement ring. Yes.
To the fiery pits of Mordor.
If you've called before, you can call now. If you haven't called yet, call in. If you're a brand new caller, we want to hear you too. You are listening to World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. And this is the return engagement. We've got seven of the best poets lined up for you. The reason why they're the best, they're calling our show. I'm just kidding. Actually, they're best because they're really good at their craft, and they've worked hard and honed their skills. Like this man from Kentucky, please welcome Philip.
Philip,
now are you with us?
I was not with you. I'm with you, yes.
We didn't have you piped through the airwaves, so it was you were talking to the room, but not to everybody else.
Somebody needs to censor me.
Well, no, that's what they do with me, actually. I am the public relations nightmare waiting to happen.
Right. Well, and I, on a half-serious note, I really appreciated the poem you shared tonight, Mr. J. Todd.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. That was very brave of you. And if I understand correctly, that was your brother?
Yes, my younger brother. Well, he made a lot of poor choices, but he chose to exit this life instead of facing down 30 years in prison for what he did. So.
Oh, my. Well, yeah. I don't want to pry, but, I understand. I was once married, and both her father first and then her brother followed with guns. And, so I'm quite familiar with suicide, et cetera. But,
it's a huge thing in my family. We lost a uncle many years before my younger brother was even alive to the same thing. And, it is what it is. I mean, I can't go back and unwind the hands of time and correct it, so.
Oh, of course. Yeah, right. I just wanted to say it was very brave of you to read it. And then at the risk of sounding self-centered and egocentric and all of that, did you fellas get my poem for the anthology?
No, actually,
yeah, we did.
Thank you, Michael.
fine.
Yeah. No, no, we did.
Leg, weren't you?
I was pulling.
Oh,
your
were
leg.
You really? Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. I totally jumped on your joke.
I was totally trying to start just pulling his leg and say, no, we didn't get a damn
Oh, I just killed it. I'm sorry. Let, pretend I didn't say anything. I have no idea what you're talking about, Phil.
No, that's fine. Well, now that Mike's ruined my joke, yes, we've gotten your submissions. We need lots more submissions. We want to make this a great book.
What's the cutoff day?
I look forward to all the other poets submitting to it. It's a wonderful service you guys are providing.
I think it'll be fun, man. We're going to try to design it so it's a beautiful-looking book and everybody can be proud of.
October 30th is the cutoff for anybody listening. You can use the contact form. Just make sure to put anthology submission as the first line of the thing and then just copy and paste your poem in and we can use it.
All right.
Thank you, Philip, for allowing us that shameless plug for our anthology.
Oh, no, not a problem. I'm happy to be of service, you know.
I shamelessly plug it all the time. Yeah. I don't care.
Well, I feel plugged, so.
I'm just so plugged right now.
Well, the doctor's got some cream that you can use to fix that problem.
I tell you, I go from giggles to trying to compose myself as I read a quasi-serious poem.
I understand the feeling.
I have a lot of anxious writers out there, and I really enjoy these new poets that are showing up. It's really nice to hear these new voices. So
that's what we feel too. You know, it's really a great thing that they're doing. I'm really glad that they're calling and sharing, and it's awesome to hear that.
Yeah, it really is. Well, I'll get to it and then slide on by. Here he goes. One of them long titles for you, Mr. J. Todd. Eight petite poems sketched and strung together while a resident at Eastern State Psychiatric Facilities located on Newtown Pike, third floor, behind barred windows. And here it goes. I've treated my inmost questions with sincerity and valor that mimics Percival. Has landed me yet again inside another labyrinthine hospital among the mad and anguished. Quests are a dangerous endeavor, ancient or contemporary. Mr. X among fellow Y and Z patients salivates and mutters ghastly details about murder. Emptiness replaces his eyes where warm embers once lit his sensitive inquisitiveness. I want to riposte pithily, if one wields a vengeful blade, they must also hack at themselves, but the Thorazine and whatever else he's on limits cognizance, so I quietly listen. Fear is an extraordinary teacher, tutelage of breath and resolve. The naked will hones survival hidden, imprisoned within even the gentlest apex. Among the dead, amidst hopeless scenarios rare, I'm neither surprised nor taken aback by cannibalism. Though a grotesque prospect, I recognize this stark potential savagery when seated at elegant marble tables ensconced in pleasantries, ivory napkins, and etiquette. Love belongs to no one, though it may be shared and multiplied like the fish and loaves passed from giving hands, sans possessions in the wilderness. Do not tempt others, nor lead them into temptation. Beware of Sodom and Gomorrah, lurking raw and tumescent inside mortal flesh. The mind alone conquers horror. Be still as placid sunlit water that silently reflects without judgment. Seek awe in everything, concealed everywhere. At times, a mouse or a lion, I've also been an ant and a beast. Even a naive, outspoken zealot, and for those dogged transgressions, I make steadfast contritions and submerge my past in ritualized ablutions so I may enter Zion. Walk among everyone as if they are family. And there it is, fellers.
You know, since I lost pretty much most of my family, in a 2-year period, I try to walk amongst everybody as if they're a family. Especially here at World Poetry Open Mic, they are probably the closest to the close family that I've got at walking this earth.
I hear you, and that resonates with me. And I feel the same about all of you fellers, too. You two, especially Jay Todd. I feel close to you. You're the first one that introduced me, and of course, Mr. Amade and Mr. Gunther, who also I enjoy winter as well. It's my favorite season.
Thank you.
I'm a polar bear, so what can I say?
Nice. But,
yeah, thank you so much, and I really appreciate it. We are on next week.
Oh, yeah.
We are.
All right. Well, it'll be like a family reunion then.
Exactly. In fact, I think our next actual scheduled day off is December, if I'm remembering correctly.
Well, yeah, you should take some time off for Christmas. You know, that's allowed for chocolate and popcorn, of course.
Yeah, of course.
So. All right. You guys be good. Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you later.
All right.
That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Wow, these listeners, they have memories like a steel trap. Krampus, no pantses, chocolate and popcorn.
You know, I was going to ask you.
Chicken legs into a pool.
What do you think you're going to be for Halloween?
Well.
You going to dress up this year?
I am. Yeah. What I'm going to do, I'm actually going to do something really special. I'm going to dress up as a baseball, and I'm going to have JT throw me into a pond.
Okay, that's different. What about you, JT? What do you think you're going to do? You dress up?
No, I just put on my Halloween outfit.
Oh, kind of like your birthday suit.
No, it's kind of one of those special suits that you have hanging that you only wear for like the Christmas special that you go to for Christmas.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense. I've been working on a few ideas. One was I was thinking about being zombie Justin Bieber.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of into the more of the hodgepodge creation of a character. The other one I thought would be really fun would be to hire someone to dress like a zombie and follow me around everywhere. And when someone asked me, you know, what my costume is, I could point to him and they could say, "Who is he?" And I could say, "He is supposed to be the zombie of my self-respect."
Wow.
But, you know, I think I might be lost. Because I'm the guy who takes a book on enlightenment to a party where everybody hands out, you know, like buckets of, you know, Jell-O vodka.
You just gave me an idea. My work's having a costume party where the prize is pretty substantial. I need to get one of you to dress in my clothing and go to my work and pretend you're me for the day and see how good they think the costume
is. Well, if you can do it close enough to Christmas, I mean, I'm off school. I'll totally do it. I was thinking about throwing a Halloween Mr. T party, though. Like an actual Mr. T party.
A Mr. T party.
Yeah. I'll pity the...
Darjeeling.
I pity the fool who eats all my scones.
Oh, man.
All right.
So we do have more poets on the line. Let's go out to Tommy in New Jersey for a second time tonight. Hello, my friend.
Hey, guys. What's up? What's up?
Not much. Glad to have you back with us a second time tonight. Feel honored?
Yep. Very honored.
No, we feel honored to have you with us.
Thank you. Oh, man. I'm about 2 bottles of wine into tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing me in rare form right now, or listening to me. I got another one for you guys. I'm pretty young, and today's day and age with, like, everything you see in the news, police brutality, school shootings, everything going on with people around my age, my generation, all the madness, this is something along the lines of that. It's called revolting. This is my desire, my single cause. I can't let it never fade away. I do anything, and I mean anything. I'm going crazy. I could never forgive myself. It can't be all for naught. This is mine. My precious time. I can't let it never, ever fade away. It's my only shot to make it. I'll take it. I would never forgive myself. Sweet relief. Can't even speak. It hasn't been reached. No, not yet. The brow sweat set out for a conquest. Spread me across the hood of a car because I look suspect. Outrage, protest ignited by civilian unrest, caused by unlawful murder and arrests. I guess because I'm young, I deserve this knee on my chest, barking questions, being all threatening, patting me down, saying if I got nothing to hide, then why do I seem so stressed? It's just another one of those days. I know I'm still pulling through, but right now, I need something to make me smile, or at least something to get this off my mind for a while, but that's not reality, not TV. The fight to avoid fatality. They ask for respect, but I won't. They see my detest, I make it known. this New Age rebellion has ushered in the new brand of the New Age rebellion has ushered in a brand new millennium, chanting the hymn for yesterday's requiem. So it's safe to say that we're making history. This is just us taking a few liberties. They think they have us tunnel vision stuck to our phones. They think they could turn their youth into drones. They think we can be easily bought and sold. They think they can own us along with our souls. But now, right at this instant, we're coming to the conclusion that we're infinite. Try to distract us with stimulants and scare us with payment increments. Then start to get militant because we're so insolent. When an incident occurs to the innocent and begin to implement beatings with their instruments, whether it be a gun or a club because they're so impotent, then we become impudent and riot, and their fates become imminent. I want some damn rest and some fresh air, and somebody talk to me like they actually care. I need a moment to clear my head. It's too much to handle. The pressure, the exhaustion, I blow out the candle. I close my eyes and make a wish that it didn't have to be like this, because I feel all these burdens and they make me lose my grip. But then again, tomorrow's a new day. It can go anyway. I'll try my best like I do every day. I want to bring the truth to the masses, inequality to the social classes, but it's hard when they just harass us, so please do excuse my crassness. But I gotta do what I gotta do. I mean what I say what I mean, give it my all, I give my everything, because I want what I came for. The odds are in my favor. As for the consequences, I'll deal with that later. And in regards to the haters and naysayers, go do your thing, I'll say a prayer. It is what it is, and I am who I am. You can either understand it or you can't. Either way, don't underestimate what I can do, because in the end, it'll say less about me and more about you.
Well done, Tommy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Man, I love your work. Love your presentation. Great recovery in the middle of there. Well done.
I slipped up a little bit.
You know, you explained. Your second bottle of wine. That happens.
We all do it sometimes, man. That's all right.
Not too bad.
Right on. Hope to hear from you next week, brother.
You shall.
Awesome. That was Tommy from New Jersey on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. Don't you talk about what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
I was talking about it first, though.
It'll maybe take you outside and eat you lunch for you, yeah?
Wow. How did this go?
I don't know. I'm just really hungry. Yeah. I think about lunch. Thinking about, you know what we should do, JT, after this?
What, Michael?
I think we should go to, like, an Applebee's. The same one every week. Same time. Sit at the same table in the same seats. And order the same things. What do you think?
I think I could go for that.
All right.
The funny
cool
thing is, we had the same conversation during the same segment during the same show every week too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it great?
And I had the same sense of self-loathing.
Sinister.
All right. Let's go.
All right. So from New Jersey, we're going to go on up to Michigan. Please welcome Anita.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's good to be back.
Glad you're with us. What do you got to share with us this time?
This second time, this one and the first one is from my book of poetic affirmations, and the title of this is Before You Dip, Be Sure.
All right.
So just a somewhat lighter one. Okay. Dipping into my mind is like going through my purse. Should you accept my universe, let me say this first. Dipping into my mind is like going through my purse. There is nothing in there I want to hide, and nothing in there will hurt. There are no spaces filled to the brim with drama, and there ain't many crumbs glued to the bottom. Now, I do carry air rays of color to place on my lips. There's a pack of tour sweetness that's gone straight to my hips. I have books, paper pens and key rings, family pictures, phone numbers, grandbabies, toys and things, vitamins for health, a space for wealth, a lot going on inside, and I do keep it all organized. A compartment known only to a few, God's will, I'll share it with you. There is nothing in there I want to hide, and nothing in there will hurt. So think before you leap, because dipping into my mind is like going through my purse. You might find you shouldn't have dipped. And be sure, I ain't going to take it personal. Thank you.
Love your creativity. Very well done.
Thank you.
Anita, I hope to hear from you next week as well.
Will do. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye now.
That was Anita
I'm
on World
Poetry. I'm still hanging on.
All right.
Okay.
That was Anita on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. Nice. New callers throwing down. Old familiar voices throwing down. I love this show. I love all our shows, really. The minute we go off the air, we'll go into that self-loathing phase that I mentioned earlier, but that's all right.
At least that self-loathing phase will include a steak in my mouth.
Amen.
I'm not falling for that one.
He's starting to get wise to the trolling that you and I do with him sometimes.
Yeah.
Man.
Gotta have to try harder.
That's depressing. That's really, I didn't know if he could go all day.
Yeah.
You know, it always left me smiling and satisfied when it happened.
All right, so we have another caller to save us from this weird tangent we're going off of. Please welcome from Connecticut, she is Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
Hi.
Hey, welcome to our show.
Hi. You guys, tonight, it's just so funny.
Thank you. It's Michael. It's all Michael.
I'm entirely serious this evening, Barbara.
No, but I have to tell you. I have to tell you that during part of, like, the last part of the show, I got this weird double sound. I have no idea why.
That's because we're twice the broadcasters anybody else is.
Probably.
No,
but
I'm just kidding. Totally kidding. Yeah,
you know, I saw you mention that in the chat room, and so I checked on a different computer that would be picking it up the same way you would, and I wasn't receiving anything, and I know a few other people weren't either. So I'm not sure. There must have been something going on your end.
It was
somehow.
My computer.
Yeah.
Accidentally, I had signed in to places on the same.
That's why.
Like,
yeah.
I was on the same place, and when I realized it, and closed it, it was fine. But
don't worry about it. A lot of people like to get us in stereo, so I totally get it.
Yeah, yeah. I've been told many times before, one Michael is not enough.
No,
by my parents since birth.
No, but it was so weird, and I was glad I wasn't on anything because that would have just blown my mind.
That would have been, yeah.
That would have been like,
that would have changed
God.
Things. Yeah.
That would have definitely changed everything.
Everything.
It was going, Wait,
it's not like that normally? What?
It was double JT, it was double U.
And that's a bad thing, Barbara?
Twice the radio show. Double your pleasure, double your fun.
Now that we've all clarified we're not on something, let's...
No, I'm not on anything, no.
Oh,
no,
well, that's not fun.
I would like to be, but I'm not.
Oh, okay.
Well, come to Colorado.
Cream cake, that's all.
Yeah.
With cream cake.
Wait, don't perpetuate the stereotype.
Right.
No. Okay, so I had a discussion with someone in the chat room who shall be nameless about whether or not I should read this poem because I thought I'd already read it. But he said it would be okay because if I wanted to read it again, it would be okay.
All right.
So I don't remember if you'd remember it, but it's called Love's Memory. Do you remember this poem?
I'd have to hear it. Usually my brain stores a line or two of each poem, so.
Okay, well, here it is. Love's Memory. Love is amorphous, envelops you in its tantalizing net, and captures you until all you were before has disappeared. And you are reborn as a loved one and a lover, your mind like a trained pointer honed on the one you love. And you are a vessel carrying that love around with you, doling it out moment to moment as if it were a precious commodity meant to be secreted away in a safe place and sprinkled ever so gently over the one you love. And you continue in this fashion until one day he is taken from you and you explode. The love flows everywhere, and you know you no longer need to hold on to this love, for your loved one can no longer feel your touch. Yet it spreads over all and seeps into your life in memories fashioned from the remains of the love you once held inside of you. Memories that keep you close in his arms in a phantom hug with remembered tenderness. And you feel it as if you were still in your lover's arms and he was holding you tight instead of the transparency of the dream. And poem.
Excellent piece, Barbara, and I don't believe I've heard that before.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember that one either.
I think I must have written it in between the time that you guys were away, because it's a pretty new poem.
I liked it.
Thank you. Thank you. I think, I can't remember why I wrote it, but I think it might have been from a dream. You know, you have those
dream things. Journaling, yes.
Yeah.
Very familiar.
Yeah, either dreams or daydreams where you feel that, you know, that person is there, you know, and it translates into, what else, a poem?
Yeah.
What else could it possibly translate into?
Well, I mean, I know a few chefs who might turn that into a brisket, but I think...
A brisket?
Well, I mean, I've
a brisket?
I've been trying to kind of make that work in my head, you know, because I talk to chefs and I definitely believe that they're artists, but I have a hard time because I think as a writer, as a musician, that it actually directly translates. But apparently,
oh, you mean like this kind of pain would transmit into a brisket?
Well, maybe not a brisket. Maybe a nicely cooked, you know, vegan waffle. I don't, you know, something like that.
No, you have to have like. A beautiful prime rib for this.
You know, that's probably true. Maybe a really nice salad with some
prime rib.
Definitely, a prime rib.
Yeah, prime rib.
Butter mashed potatoes, rich gravy.
Some Mendoza,
exactly.
A Mendoza Malbec.
Something to show the love. Brisket is, I don't know, brisket is...
Have you ever had really good brisket?
I have, and I have made it.
I believe that. I believe that, Barbara. I am.
I wish I could cook for you guys. I am a fantastic cook.
Well, we do
well, you're
accept
welcome
food.
To. Yeah, you're welcome to cook for us anytime.
Yeah. Barbara, the official brisketeer of World Poetry Open Mic.
Definitely. I made a gorgeous brisket for Rosh Hashanah.
Nice.
Beautiful. No, I didn't.
Well, okay. Maybe I can't believe you then, Barbara.
No, it was Passover.
I see. The good old Passover brisket.
Months ago. No, we had it catered. We had it catered. My brother catered it from this very big restaurant in New York. So, but I wanted my brisket, but he said he was bringing everything, and he did. He brought everything.
Nice. Barbara, thank you for calling our show. I'm looking forward to next week already.
Yes, I will have a new poem for you next week, hopefully.
Yeah, you can set the example and let Mariah know that you can write on Monday or Tuesday as well.
Shh, don't disturb her. She's writing right now.
She's young. She writes all the time.
I think she likes the pressure is what I think it is.
Yeah, agreed.
She does, I'm sure, right, Mariah? Mariah's laughing. Okay. All
Thank
right.
you, Barbara.
So I'm going to get off and let somebody else get on.
Awesome.
Okay, thank you.
That was Barbara from World Poetry Open Mic, the next Evolution Poetry Radio. Hey, Mike, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but she's the host of Red River Radio's Tale from the Pages.
Red River Radio? Where's Red River Radio Tales from the Pages?
It's on blogtalkradio.com.
That's ridiculous. Some blogtalkradio.com, Red River...
Red River Radio, Tales from the Pages.
It's like red leather, yellow leather.
Red leather, yellow.
Yeah. You know, palindromes, by the way. Awesome palindrome for all the writers out there. Yo, bottoms up, U.S. motto boy. And also, rats live on no evil star. There we go. That's for you, Philip.
Wow. And I thought I was doing good with race car, but you just topped that crap altogether.
I play in a different league, man.
Yeah, you do.
My
palindrome league's going really well. We're first in the nation.
Is that on penduel.com?
Yes, penduel.com. I love it. Yes.
All right. I'm not even going to go there. Let's just go to another caller. Please welcome from Pennsylvania. She is Morton Carroll. Hi, Morton Carroll. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. And yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for calling our show.
You're quite welcome.
You have another piece you'd like to share with us?
Yes, I got a little in my sound. We're going to have bounce back. There we go. Yes, I do have another piece for you.
Wonderful.
This goes out to Barbara. She just told me about losing her husband. For some reason, something told me to pick this one out to read it. And it's called Another Tear Has Fallen. This is what I say to anyone who loses somebody, whether it's a child, a spouse, whatever. So sorry for your loss. May he rest in peace. He has become an angel in heaven. He is looking down in spiritual form, watching everything you do. You will keep him alive within your heart of hearts. Just know when it thunders, he's just bawling with the other angels. Another angel has fallen too soon, so sorry for your loss. May he rest in peace. I took a moment to honor him in quiet with my hand over my heart. My head bowed, and another tear has fallen.
Very well done.
Thank you.
Always inspiring work, Morton Carroll, and I'm looking forward to hearing you next week.
I should be there.
Beautiful. That was Morton Carroll on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Man.
Yeah. Just great poetry up and down the list today. Let's get another poet on the line. This one coming to us from Texas. Please welcome Juanita Garcia Vera for her second time.
That's what we sound like in a bathroom.
That's what I was just thinking, the same thing. I'm like, wow. Juanita, are you Hello? With us?
I'm here.
All right. Welcome back to our show.
Well, thank you very much. I was just running, making my tea.
Oh, see, Mike got you with the tea and scones thing. I got you.
Okay, I've got a poem that says my pen will have to wait.
All right.
The title of it. Here we go. It says, my pen will have to wait until the words fall into place, until the pain no longer fills the emptiness, until all tears have parched my face, until my soul hangs dry. In the desert, find me there, in the dead of night, in the scald of blazing day, trying to find the light. Until the rain arrives, silence will be there. For the friends I hold most dear, I will ask a short refrain. Keep me close, but let me cry. For without the tears I fear, I will surely die. Spin my thoughts into a yarn. Excuse me. Spin my thoughts into a yarn. Spin my heart with blood. And my thoughts with darkest words. Spin my words with light. While I find the strength and road, and my soul to cry. That's it. Thank you.
Another emotionally raw piece, exposing yourself. Thank you, Juanita, for sharing yourself with us. Love your work.
Yeah, that's all seconded. That takes a lot of courage to do that, and thank you for doing it.
That was Juanita Garcia Vera on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Absolutely stunning night of poetry. How do you top something off? You know, it's like when you have a sundae and all the decadent richness of the ice cream and the syrup and the whipped cream, you just put a cherry on top. You put something so sweet that it beats everything else.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how he gets out of this one.
And you go out and get Mariah to finish your show.
A succulent sundae, and then you put a poet on top.
There you go.
I was wondering where that was going.
Yeah, me too.
So Mariah is the cherry on the top of our sundae.
That's not creepy at all.
Wouldn't, you just, at all. Wouldn't we just call this a Friday?
That is definitely the best part, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. For something I had nothing to do with. Thank you.
But do people twist your stem in a knot with their tongue?
Oh, my good Lord.
Totally kidding.
Good Lord.
Wrong show. Wrong
Sorry,
show.
Sorry, that was supposed to be After Dark, wasn't it?
You know, I married a girl who did that. That was a bad move.
Hey.
Anyway.
You know, Mike, I've got a story for once we leave the air about that, but we're not going to go into it on here because it's very After Dark.
Story?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
So I got something written. I haven't really read through it, and it's not my usual style. It ends up. It didn't end up where I thought it would. We'll just say that. It kind of goes religious and rap, and it's weird for me. So, as of right now, the title is just saved, but that might change. I race against time to try and outrun my fears, trail my words along behind me as I hopscotch over broken mirrors and memories. I leave my rhymes in sidewalk cracks. Don't look back as I'm walking away. Another day, another play, one more chance to keep fear at bay. Hesitations have no place in my life if I'm ever going to step up and live. Gotta give fully to get freedom. Gotta live fully to get wisdom. Pray to God that things go my way, but prepare my mind to fight a war today. I have battle scars left by invisible demons, and they barely even cover how bad I'm truly feeling. But I raise my head high and show the devil I've won. He can't keep me down. This fight is far from done. For my God is my rock, my refuge, my strength, and he'll keep on fighting this battle no matter the length. Because love is the greatest weapon of all. Against it, all other things clatter and fall. He has blessed me richly in ways I can't yet say, but be rest assured, I will tell you someday. There are things that are known, and there are things that are not, but I know that my freedom has already been bought. So I lift up my fists in a victory stance, dance and praise what I've been given yet another second chance. For I will fall more times than I care to admit, but as long as I am loved, I will never think to quit. And whatever that was.
Let me guess, you're still writing on that poem because you're not quite done with it.
No, that was something.
That was good. That was I was really just teasing good. You about how you slide in just under the wire.
No, that was, Mariah, I enjoyed that very much. Good. I think you work well under pressure. There's people I know like that. I'm kind of like that, too. Actually, I'm a bit like that as well.
You know,
I write well under pressure.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's about it.
No. I'm sure you do a lot of things well. Pressure or not, you do a lot of things well. And you're very good at your craft.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we look forward to hearing you next week, right after you're done writing a poem then, too.
Yes.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you, Mariah.
That is the plan.
Sounds beautiful. Great.
By the way, I just wanted to let you know on our week off that you made me cry, though you don't know it.
What?
I'm serious.
I
decided to take the time and edit up our shows while we had the week off, and I hit that poem that you wrote, the two World Poetry Open Mic, and there's just something about that poem that each time I hear it, I choke up.
The other thing he doesn't tell you is he was sitting in a bathroom editing. He was actually laying in the tub taking one of his patented onion baths. So that might have had something to do with it as well. Wish he would clean
serious,
that up.
Mariah, you're a very good writer, and thank you for that gift that you gave me.
No, that made me tear up. Stop it.
Touché. Aha. No, just kidding.
Oh, tear warfare. I see how this works. You do have a daughter, don't you? You know how this works.
I'll get you with the tear gas later, Michael.
Your tear gas is a very different type of tear gas when we're in the studio. I knew that. All right. This was like Agent Orange's. All right.
Mariah, thank you very much.
Yep.
Yep. Click.
Mic drop. Thank you. That was Mariah at World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Ever since my mother did perform the first mic drop right after I was born.
All right, I'm gonna shut up now.
And how did you put up with it for so long?
I don't know how she did. Anyway,
she went to school.
Yeah, she kicked him out of her own class.
Yeah, she did. She was one of the only teachers. I think I'm the only kid she ever kicked out of class was me.
Well, just proves to go.
Yeah, I can figure.
If you're the only one, you should be the only one. You're the bar. You know that, right?
I was going to say, none of these kids have lived up to this yet.
That's the thing. That's the one thing I'm like, kids,
you don't understand. You are really underperforming right now.
I was expecting so much more from the youth of today's generation.
That's true. It's true. But, hey, by the way, I wanted to throw out everybody who called in. This has been a wonderful show, and thank you for submitting. Thank you for everything. It's been a great episode back.
Yes.
We have still another submission.
We do.
And one more from Jay Todd after that.
Well, don't go away yet. We're not quite through yet.
Let me pull the thing up here real quick because I apparently must have clicked out of it. So give me one moment.
What I asked him, do you have a submission
yes,
ready?
Yes, he did.
When said, I had it ready, and I don't remember exactly how I got out of it because I had it queued up. Here it is. I found it. Thank you, strange sound.
All right.
That seemed to work. All right. This is from Carolyn O'Connell. And she says, hi, Todd.
Hi.
Jay Todd. I live in Richmond, London. I kind of feel like I should fake an accent, but I'm not going to.
No, please
don't. And don't know what the time difference is, but I think that your program goes out when I'm asleep. I'm therefore sending a poem to be read by you on my behalf. It's from my collection, Timelines, published by Indigo Dreams, and available from them at www.indigodreamsbookshop.com or on Amazon. The poem is called Green Dress. Rushing, my eyes caught the green dress. Its folds spoke of heat's profusion, dry grass, laden branches. The bodice was a scaffold of shades that faded to harvest browns. Tied at the waist, accentuating femininity, it was a dress to die for. A dress to impress, to wear when a lover has left. That was from Carolyn O'Connell. She says she hopes it's suitable for the program and that it's possible to mention her collection, which we did. And Carolyn, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I also love the challenge of having to read a poem about choosing a dress.
I love it when you really do the gender benders. It's so
a lot of gender bender poetry around here. I think that might actually be
you get extra credit for that.
Well, because we have a really. Do you want to make a special announcement about a project we've got going on for the holidays?
Do we?
I think we should do it.
I don't even know what this announcement.
You know what we should do? Because I think we should do it so we make sure that we have it on our calendar.
All right.
For Christmas, there will be two books. So one is going to be, of course, the anthology.
Yes.
I think it'll be out in time so you guys can give it as gifts or whatever. But the other one is we have finally convinced him we are going to be releasing a haiku master book right around Christmas time.
Sorry.
You could let it roll.
It's okay. Keep going.
I know. I'm so proud of that thing. But at any rate, so we're going to be doing a haiku master book as well, right around the time. So that will be another option.
Yes.
And now we're completely wedged into getting it out of time, we totally can't. So we'll do it.
It's doable.
Oh, yes. Totally doable.
And then you have an album coming out at our anniversary date. You're just pushing yourself, brother.
Hey, man.
You don't. Well, and that's going to be a whole other thing because we're going to give away this album, which I actually have been working very, very hard on. I think it's going to be really good. I hope.
And we even came up with our project for next Halloween tonight.
But we're going to give the album away on our anniversary, our 3-year anniversary. People from the show will be able to download it. After that, after we cut that off, it's actually going to be taken and promoted internationally.
Nice.
Which will be really cool. So we're looking forward to that.
All right. So I'm going to share one. I actually referenced the title of this earlier in the show, and I think it was because I queued it up, but I wasn't fully aware that I had done it because I queued it up. Anyway, this is entitled Old Number 7. The shot of whiskey goes down smooth and strong, and I know that it will not be long until my spirit is free from pain. But does this prove that I've gone insane? The growing numbness becoming a dear friend, to which no other friendship can contend. Wanting the world to slowly fade away, as my battered soul looks forward to another day. Liquid fire burning its way down my throat, the distinct taste of charred oak I note. As the whiskey blurs memories within my mind, there is some peace that I finally find. Praying for salvation from my forgiver, for the slow and steady torture of my liver. When times get tough, I run to the bottle again, easing my pain as I embrace my sin. The shot of whiskey goes down strong and smooth, and my worn-out soul this seems to soothe. And though I wake in the morning wondering why, only to find the bottle has gone dry.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's dealing with the, you know, my addiction, whatever. So.
All right.
That's our show for this evening. I want to thank everybody that submitted, everybody that came on the air and read their work. It's been a stunning show, a grand welcome back from our vacation. The ones that normally car show and didn't make it, we want to hear from you guys next week, too. For Michael Amadei, the Half Squatch, and myself, I want to thank you for tuning in. This has been World Poetry Open Mic. Good night, Robert Mortland, wherever you're at.